¿Qué ondas, primos?
Primas.
Y primes.
Welcome to my...
My primos.
My...
Primo.
Podcast.
My name is Freddy.
My name is Kevin Garcia.
My name is Elia Maria Madrid.
Well, this is Chukuma, whenever I can make it.
My Primos Podcast discusses all things fandom and pop culture.
From comic books...
Movies...
To whatever obsession we have this week.
But with a Latine...
Latine...
My Latine...
Perspective. Remember, we're all primos.
We're all primes.
We're all primos.
No matter what part of the world we're from.
Kevin's texting or petting his cat, one or the other.
Or both.
Or both. Whoa.
Texting my cat. Wait.
Whoa.
Yes. No.
I got Sushi her own
phone. This is not a kid show. Here we go. ¿Qué ondas, primos, primas, and primes? And welcome back to my Primos Podcast. My name is Freddy. With me tonight is my primo and yours, Mr. Kevin Garcia.com.
Yo.
Say what's up, Kevin.
What's up, Kevin?
There it is, man. True to good form. He's back.
The way the Lord intended.
My prima and yours, Miss Elia Maria Spiced Illustration. Say what's up, Elia.
What's up, Elia?
Yeah.
Look at that. Yeah. Look at that. You know who else showed up out of nowhere and surprising me? My dog.
What?
Every time he hears me go, primos and primas, he's like, come here.
When I was editing the last episode, I was like, he's not a puppy anymore.
Look at him.
That is still a puppy. That is just a very big puppy.
He's going so fast. Look at the baby. That's our mascot, y'all.
Look at
our mascot.
Meanwhile, my cat's like, I'm too old to be a mascot. And then lays back down again.
He is 6 months and he's like 40 pounds. So we'll see how big he gets. But Elia, welcome back. You were missed. You were missed so much. Thank you for being here. Along with Kevin Garcia.
I know, Elia, I'm glad that you're back because you are the Kevin Garcia in our lives.
Oh God, wow. That's a lot of pressure.
I love how it's still like self-promoting, you know, like he's just right, like, hey, you're the me of this group.
See, here's the thing. A lot of people think that I'm full of myself, but in my head, it's all self-depreciating, like all of it.
Veronique, you did this. You did this. You gave him.
This is all your fault.
But primos, we're back together. We're excited to be here, and we're going to have a lot of fun talking about the new Amazon Prime show, Fallout, and of course the video games. Yeah. I got my
swag on the hat.
My strength and my charisma, you know, right there on the hat. But we'll get into that here in a moment. But of course, guys, remember you can follow us at My Primos Podcast on all social media. Of course, all the streaming platforms of your choice. You can follow the video podcast on Spotify and on YouTube. And Amazon, you can just say, hey, Alexa, play My Primos Podcast. And it will work. We've done it. It's been proven.
See, now look, somebody's listening to this on YouTube at home. They have a speaker on. Their Alexa just turned on because you said that. And now they're listening to twice of us, which honestly, you're welcome.
If I get a percentage of a penny or something like that out of it, sure. Cool.
Hey, you know, right now, revenue.
This is a, someone told me once that podcast is like a boat. And I go, what do you mean? It's a hole in the ground or a hole in the water that you just throw money into it and nothing ever happens.
Yeah.
So, but we're floating. We're dishing out the water. I don't know. There's something there. But, primos, Elia, it's been a while. What have you been up to? You've been missed.
Oh, man.
What has the spice been up to?
Literally trying to stay afloat from this thing called life, man. Kind of been drowning me the past couple weeks. But no, aside from that, I'm trying my best to just hold on to the creative fire. We just finished choosing our artist for Texas Latino Comic Con. So by the time this episode comes out, I think y'all will know. That was... It's so many amazing creators out there. I love seeing applications every year of like all the Latine people in the community who just want to share their stuff. And it's just like, God, can we just not have a venue so everyone can freaking be here? But
we might have to go to like the swap meet in a Trader's Village and just make it a big outdoor event.
You know what? Yeah.
Invite everybody.
Have you guys heard of the Round Top show here in Texas?
No.
No.
So the Round Top show happens, I think, two or three times a year now. And it is a town of 80-something people that two or three times a year becomes a town of two or 3,000 people because it becomes the largest flea market in Texas. What we need to do is turn Texas Latino Comic Con into that.
Okay.
I mean,
just miles and miles of Latino artists.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get a corn on a stick, watch somebody wrestle, buy some sneakers.
Have like folklorico dancers, acrobats.
A beer garden. You know?
Oh, dang it. Okay.
See, all of our faces are like.
I hope someone's writing this down out there who has money.
You know what? Well, okay, hold up a second. I was going to say Hector is writing this down right now, but then you said who has money. And I'm like, all right, well.
Hector, you're listening to this show. I know you do. Look at you. You know?
An idea, man. Beer garden
dominating the fields.
You know? Just saying.
I mean, he's a teacher.
How cheap is it? If you can't rent a venue,
Elotechella. It's like Coachella, but Elote. No, but that's exclusively Mexican. Something that's Latino.
It'll be Micheladas and Elotes. So, Elotechella. There it is. Elotechella. Make it happen. Make it happen.
But there's spicy flower crowns. Like that. Anyway.
Kevin, what about you, man? You've been busy. You've been doing a lot of things.
Yeah,
TikToks, of course, while we still have it.
Yep. TikToks have been expanding. I'm trying really hard to finalize World's War Comics. The art is all done. So at this point, it's all on me. And I this is why I want an editor and a publisher to take over, because I can do a lot of work on other people's deadlines. It's hard for me to set my own deadlines. My goal is still to have a physical edition by the end of the month. We'll see what happens. We should be trying to get there. Yeah, but keeping busy with a lot of stuff, and it's also, to make matters worse, finals season at the school I teach at. So half my kids are AP testing, and the other half are getting ready for finals, and then the other half are pointing out that I suck at math. So that's what happens. Dang.
That's why you're not a math teacher, right?
No, I'm not.
There you go.
I literally one time I was in class and I go, all right, so there's 7 + 5, and I pause a quick second. I'm like, guys, how much is that? And this one kid goes, shh, nobody tell him. He can figure this out.
Dang,
and I was like, darn it. They've learned my secret.
But no one tell him.
And you teach high school, right?
Yes, high school.
Man, high school. And what grade is it, if you guys remember, where shit got real? Like, I got to actually do something. Because I remember junior high was like whatever, ninth grade was whatever.
It didn't hit me till college. Yeah, I'm like, it didn't hit me till college.
I remember my brother was 25 and he's like, I'm still trying to decide what to do. And I'm like,
That happens. Yeah, for me, it's literally the final hour. I was like, oh, it's senior year. I got to figure out my grades. And the best thing I ever did was that I knew at least the school was a game. Right.
Yeah.
And I walked into the counselor's office and I was like, look, I'm not going to go to a 4-year school right now. I'm going to go to community college. Just make me graduate. What do I need to do to graduate? And the counselor's like, okay, cool. And we built a plan and I graduated. I had zero fun. Like, I didn't go to any of the senior events. I didn't go to any of the senior like Disneyland trips and all that junk, because I was in Southern California. It was literally, I was sitting in a classroom doing work, looking out the window and seeing people on fucking slip and slides and like bounce houses and all this stuff while I'm there like, let me get a D in economics, please.
That's pretty much how I got my master's. The only reason I had to like do all this like last minute stuff to really get the master's done. And the only reason they really gave it to me is because the college was technically closing. The university, it got reassigned as a different university by the UT system or whatever. So this is, I was like in the last graduating class, like, screw it, give them the master's, you know?
So before it was discredited, they gave you one.
Well,
before
technically,
shuts down, you hit 10K.
They were recredited, to be fair.
Oh, okay.
Listen, it gets worse than that, because that same university had a different name when I got my bachelor's, but it closed down that part of it like the year after. Because of a dispute with elected officials, and then when my mom went there, it had a different name as well. So it's like every time somebody from my family get graduated from there, they just change the name to try to distance themselves as much as possible from us.
From the Garcia name, Yeah, there you go, everybody. Kevin Garcia, be careful.
What more?
We're on the good side of you, though.
Oh, So, you know what? While we're at it, I taught at a high school in Brownsville for 9 years. The year before I got there, they won best in number one in state for soccer. And the year after I left, they got number one in state for soccer. So apparently, the 9 years I was there was holding them back.
Dang.
Well, here we are, guys. Moving forward here, but let's talk about.
Let's fall forward.
Segue from that. There you go. We'll fall. I don't know, the end of the world.
Kevin Garcia shows up. Speaking of end of the world.
This is not the way the world ends. I just realized I made a reference so geeky, I'm the only one that understood it. All right.
Well, I think so.
That's fair. Like, No. It's not. It's not above your head. This is like below your head.
Oh.
This is like. Above your head means like.
He's degrading himself.
Yeah. See? There you go.
Okay. I get it. I don't, but I get it. Here we are. Fallout, I do get. That I do get. So Fallout show came on Prime last month. I've been following this for a while because I'm a huge fan of the video games. I've been playing them before Bethesda got involved, which is the people that run it now. When they were like a top-down isometric view, you know, RPG, where it was literally walk down a dungeon corridor or this a vault, and like a picture comes up of a character, and you interact with the picture. You know, so like so it was very low tech. Yeah. To nice. Fallout 2. And I really dug the lore. I wasn't into the, and this is where maybe we differ here at the table. I was never into the fantasy, like RPGs in the early days. I really wasn't. Like, I really didn't dig the idea of a dungeon crawler with dragons and elves and stuff, at least at that time. But this is literally that, but just set in. Future.
100%. You know? Just, yeah. I mean, they all have like mutated creatures instead of dragons or whatever, but you know, yeah. I also, by the way, like the old JRPGs and stuff, but I stopped playing them when they went 3D. That's how I liked the 2D Final Fantasies. When they went 3D, I was like, I'm out.
What about you, Ilya? Your gaming knowledge has been Fortnite right now.
Yeah.
But what about you and RPGs and all that?
I love RPGs. I play Kingdom Hearts forever. And that's been one of my favorites. Yeah.
It is. I really love part one and two. Yeah. I never played more than the demo part three.
So I've played almost every single Kingdom Hearts game except for three.
I was going to ask the Game Boy ones.
I own it. Yep. The Game Boy. Nice. I love the Game Boy
ones. Game Boy one.
But like, I still have three in the box and I still haven't opened it. I haven't been able to just like, I don't know, but I feel like it should be easier now because I know there's a fourth one out. But
it's never easy though, because have you guys ever experienced this when you look at a game and you're like, there's a lot of game here. Like you kind of prepare yourself, like there's a lot going to happen here. And you have to kind of tell yourself, am I going to get through this?
See,
is it going to be okay?
I have the opposite. Like I don't expect that I'm necessarily going to have time to finish it. But what really disappoints me is when I feel like there isn't going to be enough game. Because, like, I'll give you a weird example, Shovel Knight. I enjoyed the hell out of Shovel Knight, right? But then as I got to the boss of the game, I just put it down. And I was like, because once I beat the boss, it's officially over.
Yeah.
And that feels wrong. Like, this should just keep going.
Yeah.
And that's why I play, like, Zelda and stuff like that. I'm like, just keep exploring the world. People are like, but you already beat it. I'm like, technically.
But more. There's always more. They're not going to stop making Zelda games for a really long time.
Look at Metroid, Castlevania, those old school games that I grew up with. Like, I love them.
Yeah. Well,
you know what? As we're talking about those, I want to get into the idea of adaptations. Because for years, the whole joke was that you're never going to have a good video game adaptation. You know, we got Resident Evil. Those movies were fun, but had nothing to do with the games. Mm. We got Tomb Raiders, sort of. You know, Mario Brothers, I maintain that first movie is watchable. Is it good? No, but it's watchable.
It's borderline. Let's get drunk and watch it on a big screen with a crowd of people. Like it's
100%. 100%. Yeah. And then, you know, and so on like that. But now we're in this era
Prince
where.
Of Persia.
Yeah, Prince of Persia, which was a movie.
But
now we're in an era where video game movies and TV shows are actually legitimate. You know, we got Fallout. Mario Brothers broke all kinds of records last year. You know,
so good.
Last of Us. I knew Last of Us. Such a good show. So good. And part of it has to do, I think, with the fact that the games have kind of evolved to have stories except for Mario Brothers, you know, and so that helps the movies.
Those plumbers were working in the mushroom.
True, for reasons. But now because of the
Sonic
success,
the Hedgehog movie is really good.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that one. I still haven't watched that one.
Yes.
Yeah, I need to see that. Mm-hmm. But now because of that, Nintendo is finally saying they're going to approve a Zelda movie. So, you know.
Well,
I think Michael Cera should play Link.
Oh.
I'm joking.
Okay, Michael Cera plays Link. Who pays Ganon?
Oh,
what Zelda, you know what? I am really not a fan of Seth Rogen as everything, but Seth Rogen.
Ganon? I was going to say Danny, I need a Trejo, fan art. But...
Any artist out there, I need a fan art of Seth Rogen as Ganondorf and Michael Cera as Link.
Okay, no, but we need a role for Danny Trejo. Danny Trejo is...
Don't say Tingle.
Yes.
Stop it.
Danny Trejo as Tingle. My God, that's perfect.
That's what I'm going to draw.
And Zelda, just Danny because Trejo. She's in everything, is Zendaya.
You know what, Slay? I would. Yeah. She can do it. She can wear down. Whatever she wants. She can do whatever she wants.
She can do anything.
She can do anything. Yep.
She can do whatever she wants. I'm on board. There we go.
Yeah. Dad, we cast it. Nintendo, now, just give me a call.
Now in my head, I'm thinking, I really want that scene of Michael Cera playing the ocarina. We got to whatever. This is getting too deep because we're going to start which Zelda game we want to adapt. But speaking of adaptations, Fallout has raised the bar because The Last of Us, we thought was like, wow, they nailed it. I mean, they are almost one-to-one with what's going on in the story. There were a few tweaks here and there for those that played the game. And you love the performances. They were just solid, solid performances. Now, everyone was like, oh my God, they're going to fuck up Fallout. But when you watch it, being the fan, you're like, I put that meme out on our social medias of the DiCaprio going like, pointing like, ooh, you know that meme where DiCaprio's pointing at the screen? Like,
yeah.
All the Fallout fans are pointing out Fallout. Yes, they got it right. Everything from the music, everything from the tone, the vaults themselves, the dress, the weapons, the food, even the mutated creatures that we see. They got it right. They didn't pull punches on it. And you're like, oh, shit. Like, they got it right. You didn't substitute something because you couldn't pull it off. No, they pulled it off. Oh, and majority of the show was all shot in actual sets on location, too. There was towns in South Africa that they went to near the ocean that these towns were derelict towns and ruins. And they actually shot there. It was just like Fallout. What are you guys' impression of the presentation overall? I mean, you know this game, but
I want to jump on the comparison to Last of Us for a second, because Last of Us is a game that takes itself very seriously, and the TV show took itself extremely seriously, and it worked really well. Fallout, again, I don't play it, but my understanding is that it's like it's serious, but also within like a memeified version of retro future, you know? This show feels like that. Like, it's serious in its own version of reality. And I'm like, I can dig that. I can dig it a lot. So I'm a big fan of this retro future. I love going back and reading like Buck Rogers for the 1920s and seeing what they thought the future would look like from that point of view. You know, I love, you know, this kind of like, Cold War, not the Cold War itself, but the Cold War mentality of this, like, you know, it's got to be perfect once we're all in our bomb shelters, you know? And it's just, it's really fun seeing that come alive.
Ellie, what about you? I mean, what do you think of the look and the vibe when you walked in? Because I know you said that your partner plays the game and you know of it, but walking into it, starting up, what did you think?
I've been in need of a show that makes me just gasp, not just at like the story drops, but at what is happening. And like, I knew roughly from the game, like, oh, it's survival. You're trying to survive a post radiation driven city, and things suck. And the only gameplay I've seen is just like the stressful battles that happen all the time. And I'm like, what happened for us to get here? Because I wasn't there for the beginning of gameplay to watch it. So watching the show and seeing the buildup of how everything started, not like how it led up to what happened, but we got to see what happened. And then it immediately goes forward into time and we see what happens to different levels of society. And it's just like, it really made me like look at like, wow, if you really are like in the know with someone, you have the resources, you're rich, you're going to be safe underground. But
safe.
People did survive. Yeah, you're going to be safe, quote unquote, safe. And then there's people on the level who may or may not have been hit with some really bad repercussions from said event. And they've had to survive their own way. They're still there. They're still surviving. They're still going. But it hasn't been as beautiful and glamorous and taken care of as some of these other societies. And what I'm really, I've only made it to episode 4. But knowing what I've seen Rey play, knowing of the lore that Rey has told me about, because they're also in the middle of playing a TTRPG based on Fallout. So they're looking at all the lore stuff. And learning about all the vault lore and how some were like set up for experiments and stuff. Like there's really fucked up shit in there. I want to see what the show brings to that. Because so far the show, all the gasps that I've done is my feeling of being so impressed that a show will go there. They're going to show you that gruesome stuff. They're not going to make it look, oh, cinema. It's like, no, this happened. That happened. Eat it up.
I love it.
You know, as we talk about the lore and how different groups, you know, were affected, because like the rich were still okay and healthy, but their kids are stupid, you know?
Yeah.
And then the people who were poor are free and as intelligent as Wallace. You can be in the world, but you know, constantly dealing with radiation. The one group I'm most curious about the lore are the scientists who seem to just have meta knowledge about everything. I really, I haven't figured that out yet. I'd love to know more about that.
If I may, and I'm going to give you bits and pieces of lore, related to the show.
Only seen episode 3, Elliot's seen episode 4. I'm assuming anybody listening to this right now probably has watched most, if not all of it.
I'm sure people.
You can spoil.
Yeah, I'm going to spoil stuff.
Okay,
and I'm going
to
hold a lot of the
everyone.
alert, spoilers,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to spoil stuff from the show and using the lore from the games in the world.
Okay.
Of course.
But I'm not going to take away from the oh shit moments that I really think you should experience on your own.
Okay.
I don't want to take that from you.
Yeah.
Right?
Fair.
Mm-hmm. Me and Kevin also, I want to touch on this on the show here in general, maybe a little bit afterwards, but.
Wait. You and Kevin are touching on the show? What did I sign up for?
To touch on the show.
Hold on.
Yeah. It was about crabs too, I think, Elia. I don't know if you were involved.
That's right. Yeah. No judgment though. I heard no judgment.
I did say no judgment. No judgment.
All right. About the fact that this show was all presented in one lump sum, right? Talked about episodic and things like that and how we consume this media, right? Me, first and foremost, I'm not a huge fan of the big dump. Like, I hate to use that example, but I like episodic. I like weekly episodes, things like that, because it gives us time in the community to talk, to discuss, you know, the water cooler conversations. Mm-hmm. And when Fallout came out, I consumed it in bits and pieces. I kind of didn't want to run through all of them at once because I was absorbing so much as I watched these episodes. And a piece of me is like, all right, where are they going to fuck up? But I couldn't nail anything. Yeah, because it was like, well, they got it.
Yeah.
So,
as you're talking about that, were you, you know, did you want to like talk to other Fallout fans? But then you have to think, wait, have they already finished it and I haven't? You know, that kind of stuff. Is that a question that popped in your head?
You ask, right? And I go, hey, have you been watching Fallout? And they're like, yeah, I just finished it. Okay, cool. Hey, I'm almost through. And then people are very like, hey, I'm not done yet, because I think the gamer in us kind of goes, don't spoil it. Let's respect that. I'm halfway through it, right? And if they told me I told them, hey, I haven't watched all of it, they'll be like, oh, well, how far did you get? And they just want to talk up to that point and kind of tease you up a little bit. But there was that danger of everything being spoiled. So I had to kind of, any pop-up on my phone or my feed that said Fallout related stuff, I had to ignore it. So that's how that worked for me. But the show, right? Let's talk about the lore and talk about the vaults.
Wait, but before the lore, I want to ask about what you're talking about the dumping part. Because like I agree with you. I don't like the binge mentality that Netflix created years ago, which ironically Netflix doesn't do all the time anymore. Now they occasionally have shows that come out weekly. The one I mentioned last week when we were talking about it was What If, where they put it out daily, and it's like, for people who like binging, I get it. And I'm glad you have the chance. I've even heard people say, I'm waiting till it's over so I can binge it. But we lose that social aspect of it. You need to have that water cooler conversation ability with the show so that you can, whether it's in person or on Tumblr or wherever it is, have that interaction with other people that are all on the same level as you. That's like, oh yeah, can you believe what happened? You know? And I don't appreciate the idea of a full dump, especially for a show like this that is designed to be episodic. Like literally it ends on cliffhangers, you know? And why would you do a show ending on cliffhangers and then release it all at once? You know?
That's so true. I will say I am a binge watcher. But I don't like dump releases. No, but I don't like dump releases. If it's been out, I'll watch it. Okay. But if it's like a brand new show, I like watching it at the pace of everyone. Like Game of Thrones, for example, is a show that I watched with everyone. I watched it the day it came out. I waited for the next episode. I watched it the day it came out. And it, I don't know, that social aspect is a fun feeling while you're enjoying a media work. And like the stuff that I binge is stuff that people have already talked about and experienced live and all that, but I can still talk about it, of course, but that doesn't like, I for new stuff, I like the releases timely. I want to help build that momentum with a group of people who enjoy it or don't enjoy it, if that's what we're watching it for.
Yeah. Actually, as you say, Game of Thrones, I'm imagining if the last season had been dumped all at once, could you imagine that would not have gone over? Like it didn't go over as it was.
The slowest fire. Yes. Slowest forest fire.
Because we've been like, we all know it's horrible. I don't want to tell you why it's horrible, but it's horrible.
Yeah. Okay. They release it and then run because they have time.
Right. It's done.
Yeah.
But with Fallout, I enjoy the fact that it's there for those that want it at once. And you have to kind of self control, right? Like, I'm going to watch a couple tonight. My wife would go to work. She's like, hey, I want to watch one, but I got to go work. Okay, cool. I'm not going to sit here. And I would be the guy that I'm like, I'm not going to watch it without you. You know, like, we're going to watch it together. But then eventually she's like, I had to go ahead because you were at work. And I had to, you know, she couldn't help herself, you know, but it's fun. It's a whole thing.
But I mean, it's kind of hard to binge this one because it's like an hour long and they're all heavy.
Which heavy, man. Heavy.
Oh my God.
I was going to say, it makes it convenient for something like X-Men, because that's also heavy, but it's 30-minute chunks. So I can, like,
easier to get through,
Let's jump into the show, right? Because I want to talk about Fallout in general. I know you guys haven't fully done... What are your thoughts on the characters? Because we meet, initially, the what we call the ghoul, but Cooper.
Yeah. Baby Billy. So,
spoilers.
Righteous gemstones.
Oh, see, he's awesome. Okay. I last saw him on the show I'm a Virgo, and everybody needs to watch that show. It is amazing.
Okay, so I've heard good things.
Really, no, he is the antagonist, and his name is Hero.
I was gagged. I'd not known that he was the one playing this character, and I see him on the screen. I'm like, oh, and
Walton
Goggins such and good range, man. No,
he is amazing. Good.
Yeah.
So I love his character. I knew from the moment we see him that his character is going to be hard to immediately like figure out what he's thinking. And I appreciate that. I really like it. I do like the level. I mentioned like whether people are stupid or not in this universe. Yeah. I like the level of awareness that different characters have. Mm-hmm. Not just of like knowledge of the world, but also like how human beings work, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting that some characters like, well, this one thinks everybody's nice, and this one thinks everybody is suspicious, and this one like, well, I understand that people have motivations, and it's like it's really interesting. And then, of course, the scientist knows everything. Yeah. I saw a headline that referred to this as the Wizard of Oz, and I didn't read the article because I hadn't seen the show yet. But I'm like, yeah, I see it. Like, there's Dorothy, there's the Tin Man, there's a Scarecrow, there's Toto. I haven't really seen the Cowardly Lion yet, but I have definitely seen the Wizard of Oz because he's currently a head that you're not supposed to look behind.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's definitely the Wizard of Oz, you know, and I'm like,
there's a lot behind the curtain.
Exactly. I love those kind of like thematic callbacks to other stories that it's like, I don't think the Fallout games are Wizard of Oz, but like this story is definitely themed around that concept. And I love it.
Yeah.
the fact that we meet this character initially, and you said yourself, we don't know what he's about. We can't figure him out. You know, we see a character that's a party cowboy, like a cowboy for hire. And you're like, what's going to happen here? And then we see the bombs drop. That's the day the bombs drop. And you're like, whoa, like you just, that whole scene playing out with his daughter being scared.
That little girl and saying, your thumb like, or my thumb. That was such a great, great question.
That scene though. So good. That scene, I'm just going to nod real fast. The cinematography of this show so far.
Oh, 100%. Like, yes.
100%.
Yeah.
Cinematography, the editing. It's one of those shows that you could really tell and tell it was done well.
So good.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Because the thumb, my son and me were watching it and he goes, oh, my son even went like a oh shit moment. And he's like, yeah. That's why the Vault Boy logo is always the guy holding his thumb up. He's always holding his thumb up.
I like that. I like that
idea. And he's like, and my son was like, I just didn't connect the dots.
Oh man.
Like, man, yeah, that's what it is. Is that's the logo. Like that's what it is. Yep. Look at the thumb. And he's always winking and going like this with his thumb. So that's kind of the take back. See the Vault Boy nod. There.
Yep. There it
you
is.
You know, like he's that that character, which there that character, we get his origin pretty soon where you guys are watching.
Yes, I saw that.
I really want you guys to
I saw that episode already. Good. So that's exactly where I left off, actually, was the origin of the Vault Boy and the thumb. That's where the last thing I saw.
Yeah.
And so when I saw the fact that we had Coop, you know, is married to an executive or like a manager for Vault Tech, which is the biggest conglomerate in the world.
Yeah.
They're buying up and snatching up companies hand over fist, just technology, technology, technology. And this world that we're in right now, they focus more on nuclear fission and the Cold War aesthetic, if you will, more so than entertainment, more so than have a leisurely time. No, they were always war ready.
Yeah.
Capitalists.
They turned it into entertainment. Yeah.
They turned that into entertainment. And so that's why you have those 60s and 50s aesthetics, everything from the televisions to the vehicles, even though they're future tech, because they're running on some type of nuclear power,
yeah,
to an extent. But yet we have a car with fins. You know what I mean? Like you kind of that Art Deco comes out, that vibe, the cowboy garb, like it literally is Roy Rogers on screen. And here we have Coop dealing with the future. We're talking about robot butlers, et cetera, right? So we get into this world, and in the lore of Fallout, Vault Tech is just known to basically embody that capitalist idea of companies trying to just run the world.
I have a vocabulary word for today. Googie.
Go.
G-O-O-G-I-E. Googie architecture, it's what they thought the future would look like. So Jetson's architecture is Googie architecture.
Oh, okay.
The original McDonald's that has the two giant arches through the building, that's Googie architecture. The Space Needle.
Oh, okay.
Space Needle is Googie architecture. And I just, that's part of what I was talking about, where I love this like retro future. I love this idea of like, this is what the future will be. And then in this kind of a show, it really is, you know, in a horrible way. By the way, I also love little nods to the Cold War and stuff. Like they're walking through that irradiated desert, and there's literally a crashed Soviet satellite that isn't just a Soviet satellite, but it's covered in red paint and the hammer and sickle. And I'm like, this is so cartoony on the nose, and I love it. You know, it's
this is for those that want. Then these are for those people that go the alternate future, right? They love that fiction and theory. Mm. It touches on all that. And what Elia was talking about earlier. Go ahead. What's your question?
Well, as you say, it's for people that love the alternate future. I feel like for a lot of times there'd be a show or a movie that would have this alternate future, and there'd be people asking, I don't get it. Why isn't it like, this isn't what happened, you know, that kind of thing. But now that we've been so inundated with multiverse, I feel like it's easier for people to get onto that. Maybe that's just me.
You're a fan of multiverse.
I am.
I mean, I'm at the point where I like it, but man, you love it. There's a point where you kind of get the fatigue. Like, I guess everything's possible, right? Everything's possible. So we kind of leave it like that. But this is very much so, if they would have turned right instead of left, we would be in that situation, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why I really think it connects with a lot of people, because you can disassociate when it's a dragon you're fighting. But when it's a bunch of raiders that have not eaten in 10 days and they're full of weapons and guns, you kind of go, oh, that can kind of happen.
By the way, this is partly my fault because I literally just watched Delicious in Dungeon episode right before watching this. So the whole time that she was first getting out of the vault, spent the time overnight, and then was walking and then going, I'm like, the whole thing, I'm thinking, how is she eating? Like, how is she getting proper nutrition? Yeah. Like, where is Senshi here to make sure she's eating properly? And like, by the third episode, she's like eating some like rations. Okay.
Rations.
She has food. Yeah. She has food. But I was like, seriously thinking about that for the whole time.
Her vault was one of the good vaults.
Good.
You know,
good.
Her vault was quote unquote good because it was basically designed to mimic like Kansas.
Yeah.
You know, like country growing corn.
I think he called it Nebraska fields.
Nebraska, sorry. Yeah. And so I think Kansas, because Kevin mentioned Kansas at one point. Am I misremembering something?
I think it's something like, it's like, yeah, Kansas, Nebraska. Where they
it's
got
the Midwest.
Corn.
It's the Midwest. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, they something got
like
corn.
I'm sorry. If you are one of our like two fans in the Midwest, no. You're all the same.
Correct us. Correct, so Kevin.
The cool thing is that, and like I said, this is a spoiler show, but it's almost one on at this point in the zeitgeist of Fallout. Vault-Tec, like I said, chose to use vaults as controlled experiments.
Yeah. Right?
So we're looking at every vault has some reason for existing.
Yeah.
There's ridiculous stuff that happens. There's ones where, for example, it's 99 men and one woman. One woman, 99 men. There's like 99 people and a panther loose in there. And there's just some random stuff where everybody
but is it a sexy panther?
100% accessible.
Ain't sex never panther. Sexy.
but there's vaults where they have access to weapons, and then at a certain point, they take away all the weapons, and they see how the people react to that. So there's controlled experiments, you know. And when you talk about the scientists, Kevin, that are kind of in the know and what's going on, right? We get a scene of a scientist saving a puppy, which is dog meat, which we all love dog meat.
I mean, I try it.
at that level of. If I was on the surface, bro.
Look, if a culture considers it legitimate food, I will try it.
That's true. If that's how you're raised, that's the adaptability level that y'all are at. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I hear that's being outlawed pretty soon. Just saying, certain countries, a couple years, they're going to outlaw that.
Several countries already have.
Yeah.
But to get back to Lucy, the vault dweller, every single...
It's Dorothy.
It is a cool thing. Dorothy, Lucy, every single main character from every game has a specific title.
Okay.
So in Fallout 3, for example, it's the chosen one. No, okay. Fallout 2 is the chosen one because he was chosen to go out of the vault to look for a water chip module to fix their clean water issue. So he was the chosen one to go out and find water. Then you have the lone survivor in Fallout 3, I believe. And then Vegas, it was the courier because he was a courier. He ends up fighting Matthew Perry somehow, but that's neither here nor there. and I believe the most recent one was the Wastelander, like something like that. And
yeah,
everyone has their own title. And so because you play this role however you want in the games, you can be a good guy, a bad guy, a selfish person. You can join certain factions, which you learn about in the Fallout world as we go through it. You meet ghouls in the world. You can befriend them. You can attack them. You can choose to just literally ignore the main storyline. And it's a whole funny thing. We recognize in episode 3, I believe, when the ghoul takes Lucy and kind of uses her as bait to get the head out of the water. In that game that I was hoping to see, we never got to see a Deathclaw.
Oh.
Which a Deathclaw is like the apex predator of the wasteland. But we did get to see a gore bear attack the soldier.
Yeah, yeah.
When we met Maximus.
Yeah. Right?
I have a lore question.
The radiated bear.
Sure. Maybe a spoiler, I don't know. But are ghouls functionally different from humans, or are they just ugly?
No, they've been hit with so much radiation.
You'll get that in episode 4.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
You'll learn a little more.
You'll get
about
a little bit of taste.
Yeah, I knew there's something with the inhaler stuff, but still, I'm just wondering if there's like a functional difference, or, you know.
Yeah.
They've even in the games. Oh, yeah. But in the games, they've even been considered like their own race because they're mistreated as a lower class citizen because they're ghouls. They're so clickers. Certain places won't. Yeah, not like a clicker, but more so like, oh, you're a ghoul. We don't serve ghouls. oh, you're only slaves. You're only allowed to do this because you're a ghoul. Like, you're all, like, they're not considered human or the same level, even though everybody's trying to survive.
I wonder if this is a callback to Night of the Living Dead, the movie that's considered to be the invention of the modern zombie. They're never called zombies in the movie. And George Romero said that he always considered them ghouls. And I just...
Maybe.
You know, I wonder if that's like a little bit of a callback, especially because of the time period, you know, 60s and everything.
Yeah.
It's possible. But with the vault, right? In the show, the big difference that we get to see, because in the games we never got to see it. We've never seen every vault in the game. There's over 120 vaults. So we don't know what each one of them does. We know a lot of them. But we don't know what they all do.
Yeah.
We get Lucy, which is involved with a triangular, like a triad of vaults.
A polycule of vaults.
32 and 33.
I have my theories.
What is your theory?
Because I'm only on episode 4. And I don't know. Apparently, it's like not directly linked to the game that Ray's playing right now. So So Lucy's from Vault 33.
Yeah.
And Vault 32, just spoiler alert, they're going to go in there in episode 4 and everyone's dead as hell. Like super dead.
Yeah.
31. Like, 32, they were already dead.
Yeah, they're already, but you're going to see how. You're going to see and get some context. So I think.
And her mom was from 31, I remember.
Yeah. So I believe. Her mom.
No, her father's from 31.
Or dad's from 31. Sorry.
Her mother was from 33.
But the mom was the something door communications for that door. So gatekeeper. So she met him, but I feel like he's got a much more important part, like in terms of like above, because he's like the overseer and he got there. I don't think he's dead. He ain't dead. He's in the science lab somewhere, I think. But I feel like Vault 30, I think Vault 33 was meant to be the supreme vault at the expense of Vault 31 and 32. Because we haven't seen 31 yet in the show. I believe there's something wrong in 31, or they're controlling 33. And 33 is the most generic, like, world, but their defense mode is so extreme that they think, oh, we're protecting ourselves from evil, when actually they're just the evil themselves, because it's like survival. I don't know. It's all so fucked up. I love it so much. It's so good.
By the way, I love speaking about protecting themselves. I love that in the beginning, when she's kind of talking about her life there, that she mentions that she was going through like sniper school for fun of it. And it's like, oh, well, that explains how she's going to be able to survive later, because she's already been trained how to fight. But I also, by the way, I want to just say something that my partner hated and didn't want to think about over and over and over again, which was every time she said that, cousin stuff is great for practice.
Incest for the win, incest in Vault 33.
I mean,
there's even, but the if you go on,
I mean, eventually that's why they have to keep getting people from other, from 32 and from 31 to cycle through the population. You know what I mean? So if you guys... What I can tell you is that there is a lot more meaning to this, to these three vaults.
Yeah.
Like you said, you're going to see how 32 got where it was, and how these raiders got into 32, and how they eventually worked their way to 33. And her father, like you said, he was taken. Nobody said he's dead. That's why Lucy's looking for her father. So he's alive. That's not even a big deal. Like we said, we're spoiling stuff here. He's alive. And we get to see what that's about.
It's like, why? But exactly. But why?
Wait, and why is it so important?
Because her name keeps coming up, McClane. Everyone keeps saying McClane. McClane. Okay, well, why? What makes them so hot? You know?
Because if you look at the raiders that attacked, remember she said, McClane, oh, you were like your mother. Like, she knew her mother, you know? Like, come find me. You know, come, let's do this. Like,
that's and she got a vision fate, about like, her in episode 4 when she saw the ghoul. So it's like, okay, we didn't just put that shot there for no reason.
Because you think about it, they keep...
You're right. The cinematographer's taking that.
They keep mentioning the fact of getting this done, right? We need to get to this goal, right? What is the technology that everybody wants? Everybody's fighting over this guy, right? And then by your episode, you've seen she chopped off the guy's head because he was going to die. And he knew that, hey, I'm giving my life for this cause, which ends up being for the CNR. The California New Republic, which is headed by these. Go ahead, Kevin.
I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to happen, but I want the head to come back to life. Anyway, sorry, continue.
Oh, bro.
You want to do Futurama?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a head in a jar. Like when she says she's going to carry it around, I wanted it to be a head in a jar giving her advice. Right. Anyway, sorry. New Republic.
The California New Republic is pretty much the survivors that were able to set up towns and cities after the bombs dropped. They were successful and able to live out there. They had clean water. They had clean food. They had clean air. They were able to survive and set up cities after the fact. And Vault-Tec doesn't like that. Because Vault-Tec is still moving things around, even though these vaults, keep in mind, you think these guys are not in these vaults? When you talk about the overseers, right? Every vault has an overseer, and every overseer has instructions they follow on a module. They have to follow these instructions. Someone's giving them these orders, right? And so in the game, which is what I'll let you guys kind of take in here, you learn about every vault by hacking into their computers and reading their logs and reading their catalogs and reading their diaries and kind of pushing one thing to another and connecting the dots, which is cool because the younger brother in the show, he, I think, is embodying us as a character inside the vault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's asking the Latino, those questions.
I might say.
The Latino. Yeah, the Latino, he's Latino. Knows.
Yeah, Moises. I think it's
Moises Arias.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like that character a lot. I said to my son, I'm like, I like him a lot because people underestimate him, but he's smart as hell.
I'm like, él sabe.
He's picking up on things. Él sabe. And he hacks down the line, he hacks terminals to understand what's going on. And we get a taste of what you're talking about earlier. Like, what is it with 31, 32, and 33? And he starts piecing things together because at this point in the show, we've had deaths, right? Mm-hmm. We have this society internally kind of crumbling, trying to find a new overseer, right? We had, have you guys gotten to the elections yet?
No, but I got them discussing it. I have a question. I have a question. How long has it been since the bombs?
The bombs dropped 2077. 200 odd years.
Okay, so when you mentioned California New Republic, something just dawned on me. At this point in the world of Fallout, they have spent a longer time as a post-nuclear apocalypse than they did as the United States.
Shit.
That's crazy.
So California, the New Republic of California there, whatever they're calling it, they're basically naming themselves after a former failed country that no one that is younger than the world they live in.
That's cool. I didn't put that together.
Which is interesting because the game takes place in Boston, right?
Well, different games take in different locations.
Takes place in Boston.
Yeah, that's the one I'm watching right now.
Yeah, the one in Boston. The show takes place in California.
Yeah.
Vegas takes place, of course, in Nevada.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
And
Vegas is in Nevada?
New Vegas, which is supposed to be like an offshoot of 3, which took place in D.C. So Fallout 3 was in D.C. Then you had Fallout Vegas, which is more popular than 3 because these games let you do crafting. And this is the only game that lets you craft ammo. And everybody else didn't let you craft ammo, which is weird.
It's the ghoul's special guns that only he can shoot.
Yeah, he makes his own ammo. He has his own bullets. And of course, well,
I noticed something like that drugs. I felt like, there's a lot of things in the show that I'm like, I could see that being a mechanic.
Yeah.
Yeah, weapon modding, ammo, drug use, because there's certain drugs that power you up and remove radiation.
So, injecting the dog for the dog to instantly get better. And I'm like, that's how video games work. I can dig it.
Yep.
You stimpack. Literally, guys, broken arm. In the game, you have a broken arm. You can't move it. It even has a vault point with a broken arm, and you put a stimpack. It heals the hands back together.
Yeah, so. Get ready for the Ex Machina shit to go through the roof in episode 4. Like,
I'm
just
fine with that.
It's going to be insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
So I'm like, okay, all right, work.
It's going to be crazy. I mean, what do you want me to spoil? Because at this point, like, I'm treading on this
I don't know what
line.
There is to spoil. Okay. That's the
Do they learn that all of this is a simulation and it's really the year 2024?
They don't. No. Shit. Oh, that's a good build-up,
though. You know what we get, though?
What?
In the later episodes, we get a look inside Vault-Tec.
Nice.
We're talking like how decisions are made, why things are being done the way they're being done.
Okay.
The fact that they're accusing people of being communists just because they don't really... They're attacking them like back in like what's his name in the 60s.
Yeah, the word has no meaning anymore. It's just
It doesn't mean anymore. They're communists because they're against anti-capitalism. You know,
It's like I want to pause a quick second. I want to stick on that whole that being younger than the United States or older than the United States. You guys know the origin of the word villain, right?
Nope.
No.
It's literally the word villager. It is the word for somebody from a small, poor town, which we in our modern language have corrupted to mean evil person. So like, I'm just imagining the word communist over 200 something years doesn't mean communist anymore. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
Continue.
It doesn't.
I have a question.
Go ahead. Shoot.
I'm only on four, but do we get more of Baby Billy's character's backstory? Like a lot more?
We get a lot of it because
the ghoul.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I want to know like what led up to the events from him getting that deal with his wife to being at that party.
Like, okay, well, it sounds like he had a falling out in Hollywood, right?
Well, yeah, but I want to see it. I want to see Baby Billy cry.
I'm just imagining late 50s. There's a lot of ways to have a falling out in Hollywood and never get a job.
But this is 2077, Kevin.
No, I meant when they first lost.
Also, like being associated with said brand, like did it disintegrate because of all? Because when we were at that party at the beginning, the negative propaganda had already started. They were already talking shit about the radiation. He was the vault boy. So it's like
he's the face.
Yeah. So what happens when that all starts? Did the propaganda cause him to lose his job, or what? Did he just suck at his job? You know.
So this is what we learn about, and I love about this story because I had a friend tell me, he goes, the Fallout show follows three main characters. Mm-hmm. We have Maximus, Brotherhood of Steel. Mm-hmm. We have the Ghoul, Coop.
Scarecrow.
Right? And then we have Lucy.
Dorothy.
Right? Okay. So each one of these storylines could be your adventure. If all we did was watch Lucy's story without involving anybody else, you have a lot of depth, a lot of heart, a lot of illusions of grandeur just being destroyed. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about Lucy's view of the world is going to be shook, like that you've never seen before, because she's never experienced it. To her, everything's matter of fact. Like you said, sniper school, intercourse, getting married. For her, it's like, this is what needs to happen. This is how she's raised in this world.
Coop,
he's in the day.
He's of the old world and the new world. You know, he's a time traveler, and he's learned to survive, not only in Hollywood, which was cutthroat, because of the fact that he was associated with Vault-Tec. He lost movie deals.
Yeah.
He lost a lot of other stuff because now he's I've never done sponsorships. He did it for his wife, but you know, he got paid. Mm-hmm. And that looked the acting community kind of turned against him and tried to incorporate him into theirs. Hey, how about you leave them, join our movement? There's a scene that you'll see later on where he gets invited to a meeting at the Hollywood Cemetery, Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Yeah.
And it's a secret meeting with Moldava, which is the woman we see take Lucy's father and a lot of his actor friends, and one of them's a Native American actor. Did you guys watch Reservation Dogs?
Part of it, yeah.
The character with the long hair.
I know some of that. I knew one of the actors. Does that count?
Hey.
Yeah. I mean, that's cool. But in this scenario, he's a native actor. I'm trying to look up his name. I don't see him in the cast notes here. But he had a great conversation with him and says, hey, man. He goes, I'm a person of color. As soon as I speak up in any way, I'm as good as dead in this town. You're a cowboy for a living. He goes, yeah, I play a cowboy. I'm not really a cowboy. He goes, yeah, but it doesn't matter. In the eye of the white man, you're a hero. So we need you to join this cause. And he says, man, you're doing fine. You got 4 acres up in Bakersfield. What are you complaining about? He goes, yeah, man, I got money. But that's not what I'm talking about. The government has given Vault-Tec 100% control over the safety of the future of this country, which means they have carte blanche. They can do whatever they want. There's no control. What happens in our movies when the guys that are all about the money are in full control over the town? He goes, chaos. He goes, exactly, chaos. You got to come join us. And so they try to talk him up, explain to him that, hey, man, the shit you're involved with and the shit your wife's doing, you need to be involved with taking it down.
Yeah,
and we get a lot of that.
And we know from the first episode that he's not with his wife anymore when the bombs go off.
Yeah, it's a lot, because we talk about that. I'm at the party. He told his old acting buddy, he sold the rights to his voice for the fucking Mr. Handy robot. And his friend told him, like,
oh, man,
I got a deal. Yeah, Matt Berry, yeah, from What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah.
Love him. And it's so dirty. He goes, oh, how much did they pay you? $10 million? He's like, no, $185. And I got a stupid butler. It's weird hearing my own voice when I'm walking the house. You know, like, he got a shitty deal, but that's where it was going. The world was not caring about entertainment.
AI. But
AI. It's all this. It's just like AI. Hey, we're going to control what you watch, and here's the bubble you're going to enjoy. Everything's brought to you by Vault-Tec. Enjoy it. You know, don't look at what we're doing. Don't look at what we're doing. You talk about the Hollywood connection, right?
Yeah.
When we move forward in time, did you see the scene? There's a scene, Kevin, which you haven't seen yet, I think. They go to a supermarket. In that supermarket, there's a movie playing on television. He finds a tape. And it's a scene of him shooting a Western. And it's a scene where he goes, you know, he meets a guy and tells him, hey, you know, there's an old Mexican saying. It says, you're feo, fuerte, o formal, y formal. You're 2 out of 3 and bad, and he shoots him in the face. And he has that conflict with the director saying, why would I have to shoot this guy in the face?
I saw that.
But part. It's also the propaganda of, hey, you're going to have to become this type of person. This is what we're aiming towards now. You're going to have to be more cutthroat. You can't be just the nice guy superhero. And Coop makes that transition, because before the bombs drop to where he is now, there is a huge changeup.
Yeah.
And sadly, you start seeing all the cracks in the relationship between the wife, because she is so invested in Vault-Tec and becoming a higher up. She even lets it slip in one of the episodes. She goes, I need to get us into one of the good vaults. That's why I'm working so hard. And he's like, what do you mean? What have I attached my name to? So you start wondering, like, oh shit, like, things turned on Coop pretty bad. Something happens with Vault-Tec that just, his image is tainted. And his wife's relationship. And I'll put it to you this way. She says something that made me sad. She goes, man, I feel bad for my daughter. I'm like, why? What's wrong? No dogs allowed in the vaults. And he's like, why? Who made that decision? It's decided. Did you make that decision? Why? Why can't I have my fucking dog? Like, he was losing his mind that he's going to lose these liberties as easy as having a dog. And then that perpetuates that idea of, you know what? They hand them a device and say, hey, this is a listening device. And they have him spy on his wife. And so that's where you're going, where is it big? It's bigger than him. Or is his family the main thing he needs to trust in his wife?
Okay. There is one thing I want to know that I don't think the show or the video games will answer.
Okay.
Because whenever there is a presentation of this post-apocalyptic world, you know, whether it's Mad Max or Hunger Games, which is, I don't think, a very well put together post-apocalyptic world. It's always just one country we see. So I'm always like, so what's Russia doing? You know, like, I really would like to know, you know, what's China doing?
They did that with the games.
You know? They do. Do they really?
In the games, you do.
Okay. All right. Because I'm like,
it was a war against China.
Well, oh, I mean, over kinda, Alaska. Kind of. Because, like, my thing is like, I'm imagining there's just one country that's totally like chill, everything's normal, and before they're like, "Dang, don't go near America, man."
So I'm only watching gameplay of 4, but from what I know from that game, and what I'm like reading about it is basically China and the central area of the United States is what is still only standing at this point, because everyone fought for land. Land ended up getting destroyed. So everyone's just congregating to these central areas in both China and the United States, and United States being like in the Massachusetts area.
Yeah. I mean, there are 120 vaults scattered only in the US that we know of. We don't know the rest of the world. So there is conversations of all out London, which somebody modded. So they're trying to say that there is more to it, but Bethesda won't go to the rest of the world. They're saying they're sticking to the US.
Cowards.
So we'll see where Fallout Mexico looks like. But
yo, there wouldn't be no Fallout Mexico. It's still standing. What's
no, that's what I'm saying. They eat crickets
put
and stuff,
the
right?
Oil over it, you know? We're okay. Yeah.
Yeah, they eat crickets and stuff.
Yeah.
But the show itself.
It's a normal Monday.
The show itself goes deep, like I said. And as far as giving stuff away to tonight tease you, is the fact that we get to learn about. Because remember, there's scenes too. We get to see where Maximus and Lucy team up.
Yes.
Maximus gets found out by the Brotherhood of Steel.
No.
So there's danger there.
I mean, it's a matter of time.
And we also get to see.
I mean, I know.
Oh, it's a matter of time.
Yeah.
Oh, we also get to see, and then I was going to ask a question.
We also get to see another vault that's thriving, that's actually peaceful. Okay. That's, and they accept Lucy and Maximus. And it becomes where it's, you slowly see Lucy losing that ideology of, hey, the vaults are safe.
Ooh.
Because she starts second guessing. And then she starts finding out. She's like, wow, there's more to this. And they even ask her the question, what was the experiment in 33? And she's like, what are you talking about? So we get a lot of that revelation in the next couple episodes too.
Okay.
Nice, nice.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. What the fuck?
I have a question about Maximus or Titus or whatever his name is.
Titus?
Are we supposed to like him?
I don't like Maximus.
No, I don't not like him.
Like, he's entertaining.
I'm rooting for him because it's like, I see you're playing the game inside of the cause, you know? So I'm kind of like, rooting for him right now as of episode 4. If he gets worse, don't blame me right now.
Because I feel like we're rooting for him because he's a main character, not because he has ambitions or goals or because he's a good person. Like, his only motivation seems to be hurt other people so that he can get ahead. And what does he want when he gets ahead? I don't know. You know?
Yeah. I'm also kind of seeing it because he's also getting ahead in the not morally correct way that he's been taught in the Force.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which he warps when he does it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, you're part of the, you're doing the right steps. You're just not following the rule. Why do you not want to follow the rules if you can just play the game? You know, like, what about the game do you not like? Why do you not trust the Brotherhood wholeheartedly in order to execute? So, I don't know. I feel like there's something else. There might not be, but I feel like there's something else.
So being this far removed, the Maximus character, I watched the show and I was like, man, this person is socially awkward because of how they've been raised.
Mm-hmm.
You get hints that he was part of a little community that was bombed. Remember, he's not 200 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
But we see him come out of the often used a refrigerator to save him from a nuclear blast.
I kind of laughed at that. I'll be honest.
Because it's a nod to Indiana Jones, and not to all that.
Part that nobody, see, but here's the thing. I don't like it in Indiana Jones. It makes perfect sense in this universe.
Because everything's campy.
Yeah.
Wally.
Save the plant.
But
what you started.
We see somebody that's socially awkward because all they've done, is survive. He was picked on in the military. He was the lowest on the totem pole. He had to prove himself over and over again just to be considered. And when he was considered, it was almost like, oh, I guess we have no choice. Like, it was almost begrudgingly done. So when we get to Maximus, everything he has to do up until almost the last episode or two, I don't like Maximus. Even at the end of the episode, you kind of go, I understand that you're growing as a person because you've never seen or done anything else except this way of life. And what Lucy does is it does give him that glimmer. You know, like the Dorothy, like you said, hey, there's other options. At one point, she even invites him. She goes, hey, come to my vault. Like, after this is all said and done, come to my vault. You need peace. You need this. And like I said earlier, they get to go to a vault where he can actually experience. They even make a joke. He's like, hey, go ahead and take a hot shower. They're like, what's a hot shower? Like, he's never experienced that.
Yeah.
You know? So you get the trauma that he's been through. Love the ghoul, right? Head to toe.
Yeah.
Lucy as well, because you get to see her change and understand. And then Maximus is that character that kind of rides the gray. But even the things he had to do and the things he says and the way he kind of comes off, it just kind of gave me some cringe at times. And I was like, oh, I just don't like Maximus. But I understand what the character's supposed to be in the show.
Okay. At the end of it, did it end with there being an obvious, like, oh, we're going to have another season?
Oh, yeah. Hands down.
Okay. Good.
Does it end with them finding mushroom-based zombies where a guy and a little girl show up.
And then all of a sudden, there's a rolling ball in the background that's rolling up the earth by a little alien guy.
Katamari.
You know, that's the crossover we need.
Like, we need a Katamari movie.
Katamari's post-apocalyptic in a very colorful way, okay? Like,
so is Pikmin, true. By the way. Pikmin is also post-apocalyptic in a very colorful way.
Love Pikmin.
Damn. Actually, so is Kirby.
Yeah, Mega Man.
Oh, my God.
I think Mega Man could be a great film.
Ending the world.
I'll give you this for the ending.
Groundbreaking.
There's definitely going to be a follow-up because the ghoul is alive and we don't know his motivation. He's technically a, what is he? A gun for hire, right?
Yeah.
But the guys that hired him are dead.
Yeah.
But he's consistently going after these people. And when she said his last name, he's like, huh, okay. Like, he keeps Lucy around.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously, like, there's more to it. And when you get to see what he does in his pre-ghoul life, you get to see that he is motivated for his family. He is motivated because of the fact that he was in the military. He used the power armor. He fought for the war. He fought for the cause. Excuse me. He says that he fought for these freedoms, but now Vault-tec's taking them away. And so he's realizing that he's fighting for the wrong side. And we get to where you ask this question. You're like, where's his family? And we get to a point where he goes, he asks them, and there's somebody he asks, and then the last couple episodes, he goes, where the fuck is my family? Mm. So he's looking for his family. That's the ghoul's motivation this whole season. So obviously,
still be alive, or at least the bloodline.
The bloodline or something, because you're going to learn about 31, unless you want me to spoil it.
No,
because is it cryogenic? Is it cryogenic?
It's something along those lines. It's not going to it's
pyrogenic.
It's better if you.
There
are 31, Lucy's dad, and Moldova, the woman that runs the California Republic. Mm-hmm. Those three things are huge oh shit moments that I really, you guys will need to look out for that matter for the whole story. But yes, because a character at the end of this ends up in front of New Vegas. And that's where the season ends. So we're going to go to Vegas.
Oh, so hell. That's going to be the next season. I'm sure fans were gagged at that.
Oh, I went lost my mind. But without going in deep, we'll probably have another episode like we did with X-Men and all that, you know, down the line when we finally all watched it to really geek out about it. But Kevin, I really want you to watch the rest of it. Tell me your thoughts since you're not a game fan of this one.
I really want
you to watch.
I've never played them, you know?
Yeah, but it's fun. And Ilya, I know you're going to watch, I hope, unless One Piece derails you again.
No, I'm letting Egghead release before I binge that.
I mean, we're winding down here, guys. Kevin, what's some of the things you've been watching here? The things that we kind of always at the end of the show kind of bring up that we're into or watching.
Talk about Fallout. I want to talk about a movie that I've seen years ago. I have it on DVD. Actually, I show it to people every once in a while. It is. It's not a good movie, but it's definitely worth watching. It's called Six String Samurai. Okay, from the early 2000s. So here's the thing. I was about to tell you about it. And while I was looking up something about it, I noticed there's a thing that says it gets referenced in Fallout New Vegas. So I'm like, there we go.
Hey, yo!
So, there you go.
So the premise of Six String Samurai is that in the 1950s, the U.S. and the Soviet Union pulled the trigger and nuked everybody, right? But the survivors of humanity congregated, at least in the United States, in what's now called Las Vegas. But they were ruled over by the rock and roll king. And now that the king is dead, a new rock and roll king must take the throne. And you are following essentially Buddy Holly Mad Max as he goes to replace the now dead Elvis Mad Max. And it is a glorious mess, and I love it. I love that. And it also is very much of that like retro futuristic aesthetic. Basically, it's like this. If you watch Fallout and you want more of this, seek out Six String Samurai, because it is weird. Very low budget. In fact, I think I heard it was originally like a student film, and then it just kind of like somehow got backers. You know, this is way before Kickstarter. It's a late 90s movie. But it's really worth watching. I won't call it good, but it's really worth watching. And there's a ska band that has a very important cameo in the movie. So it's all kinds of weird stuff. I watched this show and I'm thinking about the aesthetic of that movie. And then when I did a quick search right now, I found out that it gets referenced in one of the Fallout games. I'm like, yeah, that tracks.
Oh yeah. It's full of all that memes and pop culture references, everything from the Ninja Turtles, because there's people living in the sewers. There's everything from aliens landing in parts of the wasteland. There are references to Mad Max, of course. There's references to everything you can think of. I mean, there's a PI that's a synth, because, you know, that's a thing. There's androids, there's synths, there's aliens.
I don't think they go into synthetics in the show yet.
I assumed that's what that meant.
Yeah,
there's a lot. So it goes deep. Yeah. And I try my best to not spoil. Wait, I think I did pretty good.
Does the PI who is a synth have a thing for like little folded unicorns?
No, that I know of. What's that a reference to?
Blade Runner.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. The dog just nipped my toe.
Because the dog has watched Blade Runner.
Right? He has. I've got the TV on with dog shows on purpose, and he sits there just watching the dogs do stuff.
Oh, he's like, is there a dog in the show? Anything. I'll watch it.
Maybe. Homeward Bound was his favorite.
I believe it.
You should show him.
If you ever show him Milo and Otis, don't let him see the behind the scenes.
Oh, no.
Why?
Oh, don't Google it.
See, now I want to.
Dark.
That's for people my age, within a few, like 5 or 6 years, or maybe 10 years of my age, Milo and Otis was a children's movie that was filmed or made by Japanese directors, but it was very popular because it was about a little puppy and a little kitty going on a giant journey throughout, I don't know, America or something. Don't look up the making of it. Don't look up the making of it.
We're literally going to look.
Don't do it. You're going to regret it. But it's a very cute movie.
What about you?
It's a very cute movie that was a phenomenon.
I'm just curious now.
Elia, what about you? What's happening here for you? Anything you want to promote? Anything, any show you want to share?
Anything
right now that we should follow?
A little bit of both. First, I'll start with the show or movie I just watched for the first time. Surprise, it's a Marvel movie. I watched Black Panther for the first time, and I loved it to pieces. I want all my Marvel movies to be just like that one. I don't know why they're not.
That is the Oscar-nominated Marvel movie.
Oh, I see why now. It's so good. No, I'm very impressed. So I actually want to go read the comics now, because I love the story that it all just comes from and how it's crafted. I'm not sure if it's like the same like that. Or
I heavily recommend the Christopher Priest run from the 90s, okay. Especially the first like 6 to 12 issues. But it's a really, he wrote it to be like a movie. It feels like you're reading a Tarantino movie, but better than Tarantino would write it.
Sold, done. Okay.
Yeah. So the Christopher Priest run of Black Panther in the 90s is still my favorite run.
Okay, good. I was like, I need to ask you, what do you recommend if I like
the guy
to read? Yeah. And then in terms of stuff going on for me, next week, which will be starting on the 13th of May, I don't know when this comes out, but the 13th all the way to that Friday, every evening, 7:30 Central Standard Time, I'm going to be doing some kind of theme stream to raise money for the JDRF, which is the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. I'm a type 1 diabetic myself, and I like raising money to help find a cure. And it's a creative week. It's a whole week of creatives. There's so many people across Twitch that are going to be doing fun streams to raise money. And I hope I can bring some entertainment while we raise funds.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll also be doing a stream to raise funds.
Yeah. Right? Yeah,
I'm going to be joining a bunch of comic book YouTubers for a stream to raise funds to cure cancers. That's better than yours. No, it's not true.
Whoa.
But I mean... the difference is I don't know how to stream, nor do I know how to play Fortnite. So this is going to be very interesting.
That'll make for good entertainment, though.
Help me, Elia.
You're going to see Kevin shooting his gun on the ground in a circle, just spinning in a circle.
So, okay. So I played Fortnite once. Okay, okay, Bella, you played Fortnite before, right? So I played Fortnite once because it was getting popular when it was first came out. Yeah. And I knew it was a game where you could build things. So I started building a ladder and building like stairs and stuff. And like, then it started raining and it was obviously acid rain. So I was like, all right, I'm going to get inside of a building. I'll be safe inside of a building. And then I died. I did not know that the area shrinks and the acid rain is how it shrinks. Oh. I had no idea. I thought if I built a shelter, I could be fine in the shelter. That is the only time I've ever played Fortnite.
You haven't played since, ever since that.
I was just like, why would you put a building mechanic in a game that has a clock?
So that's basically what Fortnite still is. Just don't stay in the storm. Make sure you're not in the storm and kill anyone that gets in your way. Oh, man.
Fortnite, not my game. My kiddo loves it. He runs around, plays guitar, and kills people.
How about you, Freddie? What have you been into?
Me recently, I've been reading a book. If it's connected to Fallout, it kind of hit that bug. I've been playing Fallout 4 again because most of us have. And I'm doing the Brotherhood of Steel run. I'm pretty much going to do all the Brotherhood of Steel missions and try to be a good Brotherhood of Steel player. So I always go good. I never go bad guy in those games. My buddies do.
Even when I try to make myself be the bad guy, I'm like, I feel bad.
If I have the option, because of my charisma, if I have the option to talk my way out of it, I try to talk my way out of it. I really do. And I love the conversations and it's fun what you can do and you can build up. It's a blast.
Oh, man.
But I've been reading Monsters Are My Business. I put the link in the chat. And this is pretty much a post-apocalyptic, but imagine it with more Cthulhu fantasy monsters attacking the world. And you follow this team of a koala with a chainsaw named Cuddles.
As you do.
An ex-biker, just like badass, that kills things like the Punisher. And a necromancer girl, doctor healer. So she casts spells to like summon monsters to fight on her behalf, heal you, and she does the spell. So they're a party in like a modern world dealing with all these monsters attacking. And the government is kind of trying to step in and hires them to do missions for them. And I've only read one issue, which is from Dark Horse, but it's a blast. Monsters Are My Business. I've been reading that.
A lot of fun. I love the idea of a necromancer healer, because it's like, I can heal you, but you have to die first.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she takes the corpses of the monsters and she like experiments with them and does stuff with them. It's a blast. It's really well done. A lot of fun. A lot of fun.
You got me sold.
Mimos. Hey, go check it out. And as well as everybody out there, go check out Fallout. Finish it so we can have a full spoiler cast, guys. Kevin, Elia, please, please, please. But definitely, guys, go support Elia at Spice Illustrations. Yeah, let us know. And support, of course, Kevin Garcia _com and the show here at My Famous Podcast. I'm trying. Kevin.
I was going to correct you. I was all ready to correct you. You said it right.
It'd be strong.
Speaking of which, I am going to be moving all of my TikTok stuff, not moving, but copying, I guess, to a YouTube channel that, as of right now, I have not updated, put a video in there in 15 years.
Nice.
But it's going to be at KevinGarcia_com on YouTube. So if anybody wants to be one of you could be my fourth follower on YouTube.
I'll do it.
Let's do it, Primo. Let's go follow Kevin Garcia _com and YouTube. And of course, follow the show. And on our website, we're putting more and more reviews, especially from Mr. Kevin Garcia through his TikTok feed there, reviewing movies. And of course, we'll expand more on the website. So go check out myprimospodcast.com. And as always, Primos, thank you guys for listening, for sharing. We will be here week to week if we can. But like I said, hey, life happens. It is what it is. But we're here having fun. We love everybody out there for listening. And remember, no matter where you're from,
there you are. We out.
Wings.